The Why Golf podcast is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack that searches billions of prices on flights, hotels, and cars so you can feel confident you'll always find an amazing deal. Welcome to Why Golf, presented by Skyscanner. We are here at the Solheim Cup for a couple of very special episodes. This is episode number 2. Later on in the show, we'll be catching up with some of the winning American Junior Solheim Cup team. Now, you might remember that from episode 1, I caught up with some very enthusiastic fans. Well, they are still here in force in the Festival Village. Let's go and find them and have a bit of a chat. So I've managed to catch up with Terry and Brandy. You've flown from Cincinnati. How are you feeling being here at the Solheim Cup?
Excited. This is a great week to watch the best golfers in the world play.
Are you a golfer yourself?
Yes.
What's your handicap? Do you have a handicap?
Oh, yes, it's 24.
Oh, excellent. Can we play together in a four ball or something?
Sure,
yeah, amazing.
Sure.
And Brandy, tell us why you love golf so much and why you're here.
I love golf because it's always a challenge. I feel like I'm always learning something new and trying to improve my game.
What's the strength to your game, Brandy?
Maybe my mental game, although it hasn't been very good lately. But I'm always very focused and I don't let a bad round get to me.
Have you been to a first tee before?
Yes.
Where and what was it like?
Toledo, Ohio, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It was amazing. Yeah. Just the atmosphere, its enthusiasm is awesome.
How electric is that first tee?
The people cheering, the outfits, the things that they come up with, the music. Yeah. It's really exciting.
Bob, really good to catch up with you. You are here because it's your wife, Laura's birthday. She doesn't want to be on camera, but tell us what this means to you being here.
We love golf, and I love my wife, and I needed to get her a good birthday present. So her birthday was actually November, so we've been planning this for 10 months.
This is amazing. Yeah. So you've circled it in the diary, and you've been counting down the days till you get here. Is this your first day here this week?
No, we got here yesterday, too. Well, we got in on Monday, and then we're going to come to every event. I got her a whole week's pass. And so we're staying out here the entire week, and then we'll head home Monday of next week.
And why do you love golf so much?
Well, we're avid players, too. We play all the time. We're not very good. Yeah, we've always been huge golf fans. And although we love men's and women's golf, she really follows the women's golf. Both sides, we love all the players. So yeah. It was just a big deal for us to come out here and, you know, and to be here on 9/11 was just a bonus. You know, we didn't really look at that when it happened. But, you know, it's a very special day. And So we're excited.
Well, great to see you. And how talented are these players?
Oh, it's incredible. I've had the pleasure of being around golf for a long time and being with some really good players. And I just love watching them play. I feel like I learned something. I was even telling my wife a couple of things. Look where their stance are. Look how they choke down. So, you know, and they're chipping and whatever. Yeah, so it's also a good chance to just watch some great players up close and get better.
Bob, why should people at home, why should they play golf?
Well, for example, if you watched last week, you know, players call a foul on themselves. It's the most pure, honest game that there is. You know, you get great exercise in it, but and great camaraderie with the competitors. But the idea that it's the most honest, pure game that there is, I was a basketball referee for 27 years, and nobody ever agreed with a foul, and then out here they call them on themselves, even when nobody saw it. And so it's just an amazing sport. It really is the truest, greatest sport. And we just love it. We love watching it on television. We love coming and watching it live. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. Great answer.
McGuire's on fire. USA are petrified. McGuire's on fire. USA are petrified.
McGuire's on fire.
I love this. You know, it's almost... Oh, right, she's still going. Yeah. This is like the first seat. Right, ladies, can you come round so I can speak to you all? You're slightly hot.
Yes, rather. And it's very early.
It's very early. We've started early. You've peaked. The banner's brilliant. You've travelled for, 24 hours travelling yesterday, but you're here at your 7th Solheim Cup. How does it feel?
Fantastic. Didn't think we'd make it this time until Steph had a quiet word in our ear. And
I said, we were in Spain together, and I said, you have to come over to the USA. I need some help. I need some Europeans over there. So we got over here.
Steph, how many have you done then?
I've done four. Right. I work for the LPGA team over here, but I've done four. Three is the banana, one is a superhero. And then obviously standing out as the banana on the tee box, met the daffodils, and yeah, we just became family, so here we are.
That's the great thing about golf, isn't it? You become a community. And why do you love golf?
I just think inspiring the next million girls to play golf, and just knowing that what we had growing up and knowing what the opportunities that we can give to the next million girls is absolutely insane. So it's just a life-changing sport.
That is so true. I mean, these girls are role models, aren't they? And they are inspiring. You're role models as a daffodil. You really are. But to come here to the Solheim Cup and to sit on that first tee, a lot of people can only imagine coming. What is it like?
Well, you just can't believe it. The noise is incredible, and we make a lot of it ourselves. But, you know, we've made so many friends over the years from different parts of the world even, and we kept in touch.
And what would you say to young golfers who are thinking about golf and thinking about getting their kids involved? What would you say to them?
Oh, it's the best sport. The best sport. I've played a lot of sports through the years, but the golf, the social side of it. I keep saying, oh, I'm going to finish now, my age, I'm going to finish. And my daughter keeps saying, Mam, you've got to keep going, you'll miss the social side.
Yes. Am I allowed to ask, how many years younger are you? We're not allowed to ask.
74.
Amazing. And what, do you have a handicap?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you.
That's fine. Which is your
my
favourite?
Handicap is my game.
But you love it, though. What about the 19th hole? Because I reckon you lot enjoy the 19th.
Well, it's a bit late. We're starting late this morning. We need one now. Yeah.
It is definitely 5 o'clock somewhere. Right, girls, let's finish with the song. I like the Leona Maguire one. You ready? Okay, yeah. 1, 2, 3...
Maguire's on fire, USA are petrified, Maguire's on fire, USA are petrified, Maguire's on fire, USA are petrified, Maguire.
I am stood outside the American headquarters, and we've just heard that some of the players and their captain, Stacey Lewis, are heading into the press conference. Let's go and hear it from Team USA.
All right, hello and welcome everyone to the 2024 Solheim Cup hosted here at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club. Pleased to be joined here by Andrea Lee, Sarah Schmelzel, Lilia Vu, and Assistant Captain Angela Stanford.
Hi, Sarah. I know you set yourself a lot of goals to get into this team. Have you set yourself any goals for this week? And are you trying to absorb everything that's going on around you and learn from everyone right now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, goal golf-wise is just to go out, you know, firing, be super committed, be super determined. You know, as long as I'm staying within myself and doing everything that I can control, you know, that's all I can really do. I would say in terms of the week, I'm really trying to take in every moment, taking every day by day, and enjoying every single aspect of it. It's a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity kind of a thing. I hope to be on many teams down the road for my career, but I'm just really trying to enjoy every day with my teammates and captains.
Enjoying it so far?
Absolutely.
Yeah. A question quickly for Andrea. You had such a brilliant junior career. For all the juniors that are wandering around here watching you this week, hoping to become professional, when things aren't always going according to plan, what kind of advice would you give to some juniors out there?
I would just always tell them to remind themselves, you know, why they started the game in the first place. You know, golf is a game full of ups and downs, and I've certainly had my obstacles and lows with the game. But at the end of the day, I truly love the sport, and you just kind of have to remember, you know, where you came from and how you grew up and, you know, loved this game. And just to have fun with it and not to try and, you know, burn yourself out too quick. You know, yeah, just to have fun, I think, would be my biggest advice to all the juniors. That's what I always say.
A really great message. And just finally, Angela, have you chatted to any of the junior Solheim Cup team and spoken to celebrations with them?
That party last night was fun. Like,
I thought so.
I don't know what to say. I don't speak their language. Like, I simply sit back and enjoy the entertainment. But it was awesome. They came in, and, you know, I think that Junior Solheim Cup's really important. You know, I've been around teams that the European team will win the Junior Solheim Cup, and it sets the tone for the week. And the Americans played amazing the last couple of days, and they've kind of set the tone for us, and it's great. And then they came in and celebrated. We got to celebrate with them, and it was fun. It was fun to be around, fun to watch.
Yeah.
despite not understanding what they're saying. Thank you, Angela. Thank you.
I know Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you should. We are here with our 2024 Solheim Cup captain for the U.S. team, Stacey Lewis.
Stacey, great to see you. At the last Solheim Cup on the first tee, we saw your daughter there. As a mother, how difficult is it to juggle childcare when you are working and all those emotions and dealing with a team as well? And how supportive has the LPGA been behind the scenes with childcare?
Oh, the LPGA is amazing. My daughter's here this week. We have childcare here with us. Brittany and Paula both have their kids here. We want them to be a part of what we're doing, you know, and mine's getting to the age where she's going to remember some of this stuff. And so you will see her at some point dancing around the first tee. It was obviously a lot easier in Spain when you're staying on site. But I just, you know, the LPGA Tour does a tremendous amount of work to help us be, you know, great athletes, but then allow us to have families and allow our daughters, I guess, to travel with us and be a part of what we're doing and be around these great people. I mean, all of these girls are leaders in their sport. All these women that are playing, they're leaders. And just for my daughter to see that and to be around them, to see how they carry themselves, you know, she's learning a lot and not even really realizing it.
Thank you. So I am here outside the European headquarters, and one of the key members of the side is, of course, Leona Maguire. A little bit earlier on, I managed to catch up with her. Leona, great to see you here at the Solheim Cup. You've played in a couple. What's it like coming back for your third?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a fantastic week, and even there's a great buzz around the place already. There's quite a few crowds out, and yeah, I think it's going to be even bigger and that than the last few years, but... Oh, it's a tough task being away from home, but I think it's a challenge that we're all looking forward to.
You've played today, had a look at the first tee. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the first tee is, I think it's going to be loud, it's going to be big. There's obviously a lot of red, white and blue around there, but like I said, it's the first tee is a special place. And yeah, you just want to settle the nerves and try and get that first tee shot down the fairway.
Yeah, how do you settle those nerves? Because I can only imagine what it's like to walk out there and have to hit a tee shot for Europe.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of excitement there, a lot of adrenaline. So it's, yeah, no, it's, I've enjoyed my last two times. Obviously, Finca was a drivable par four to start, a little bit different this time around. But yeah, I mean, the atmosphere will be incredible. I think the big thing is when it goes from so loud to so quiet.
Yeah.
And I know some of the girls keep the crowd going and stuff for that. But no, it's one of those special memories that you're always going to remember for the rest of your career.
It certainly is, and it's pretty hot here as well. Mm-hmm. How are you managing the heat? I've seen sun cream being slapped on. I'm going to try and grab my hat if that's okay, because it's boiling.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of chilly in the mornings and it gets hot really quick. So, yeah, we're lucky to have a nutritionist on site with the team this week as well. So that's keeping the girls hydrated and fueled, and we've been plenty of electrolytes in and smoothies and stuff like that. So, yeah, Suzanne's helping us keep us as prepared as we possibly can be.
Oh, good stuff. And how do you get away from golf? I know you've been away with Lisa. What have you been doing? Lots of walking and chilling out. How do you escape the stress of golf?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy summer. It's been really hectic the last few weeks, so it was nice. Sort of last week, got a few days at home, went out on the lake, did some paddleboarding, stuff like
heaven.
That. So,
yeah. Are you good at paddleboarding?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's nice when you get a bit calmer conditions. It was nice. It was really nice at home. It was like 24 degrees last weekend. So
gorgeous.
Finally,
which is very rare, actually.
Irish summer arrives.
Yes.
So it's like the guys aren't getting as lucky up in RCD this week.
But. No, it's sort of a day and a half in Ireland, isn't it? You've got to grab it when you can. But I love that you can go out on the water and try and just escape, because it gets really intense, doesn't it, the golf season?
Yeah, and especially this summer, I think, with all the majors and Olympics and Solheim Cup all being crammed into sort of a couple of months, it's been really busy, so it's nice to sort of get a little bit of time to switch off and reset before we have to go again into, I mean, this is sort of another busy stretch coming up with Solheim Cup and then Asia coming up pretty soon as well.
What is your one thing that you take away, the highlight from the Olympics?
This was by far the most successful games ever for Team Ireland, so that was really cool to see. First Olympic gold in gymnastics, the swimmers did fantastic. I mean, the women's relay going in a whisker of a medal. Kelly got a double gold. So, like, there was a lot of Irish athletes. It's a small team, but there was a huge sense of camaraderie amongst the athletes, so it was really nice to see them all do so well.
That's great. I mean, sport's all about that camaraderie, and coming here to the Solheim Cup, it really brings the best out of you. What is it about the Solheim that makes you produce those winning scores?
Yeah, I love match play. I love team team golf, and I think the European team always gets along so well. A lot of us have known each other since we were sort of 12, 13 years old, so it's just like being with your friends this week, trying to have as much fun as possible, and obviously those competitive instincts kick in, and you just do whatever it takes to try and get your point for your team.
Do you do any breathing techniques or sort of management of when you're walking on the course, thinking about anything else or looking up to the sky, so to speak, just any kind of escapism?
Yeah, definitely breathing is going to be a big thing this week, yeah. I think, especially on that first tee, and even for momentum as well, if things aren't going quite as well, just to reset and gather yourself, and obviously with the crowds being so lopsided against us. So, yeah, you're just going to have to stay really centred and really in the moment. And then I suppose you're fortunate in the first couple of days to have a partner alongside you and the other two caddies as well. So you really have to sort of feed off each other and help each other out.
You are a role model to so many juniors. We've spoken to so many and they always say your name. How does that feel? Does it make you want to go and play better golf?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously want to do as well as you can to give people at home something to cheer about. And I mean, it doesn't seem that long ago since I was on the junior team in 2009, yeah. 2011, watching Suzanne or watching Anna or Mel or Laura in those teams. So it's still a little bit surreal to be here on teams with them now and playing alongside them. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of young girls that are watching this week that someday hopefully they'll be on the team too.
Oh, absolutely. And Leona, when you're traveling around the world, trying to pack your suitcase, what's the one thing that you have to pack with you?
It's a good question, actually.
Mine's a transportable mini kettle.
A kettle. I'm not a big tea drinker, to be fair. Okay. A lot of Irish people pack the tea bags. We try and sneak a bar of dairy milk in there when we can, but generally it
absolutely
melts.
So, it does.
If we can get it in, we'll get one in there
okay.
every once in a while.
I take some tea bags as well, but you don't drink tea. Thank you so much, and we love the outfit. Do you feel good in this outfit?
Yeah. I think it really pops. I think
yeah, it's great. Has Suzanne done all right with the outfit so far?
Yeah, I think we'll look really smart the next few days. Yeah.
I love the attire. It's brilliant. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you.
This episode of Why Golf is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack that searches billions of prices on flights, hotels, and rental cars, so you can feel confident you'll always find an amazing deal. Now, I end up travelling around the world quite a bit for golf, whether that's leisure to play at that special course or when I'm working, but travel planning can feel overwhelming and pretty stressful. There are so many options for flights, hotels and cars. Which one is best for me? What is a great deal? Am I missing out on a great option? Right, okay, breathe. This is where Skyscanner comes in, making everything simple and easy. Skyscanner has been helping travellers for over 20 years, and because they are fellow travellers, they never pressure you to book or manipulate prices. And tools like Explore Everywhere or the new Savvy Search AI feature help you explore and find that perfect trip when you don't know where you want to go. I used them recently when I was looking to book a trip to Germany and was amazed with how quick and easy it was. I went to skyscanner.net, searched for my dates and airports, and found exactly what I was looking for with times and prices. And it was also easy to add hotel and car options to my trip too. So when you're booking your next adventure, whether that be to Augusta or Abu Dhabi, St Andrews or Spain, just head to skyscanner.net or download the Skyscanner app to start building your next dream trip away. Amazing deals for flights, hotels and car hire all in one place with one simple search. Skyscanner, proud partner of the Why Golf podcast.
Hello, Why Golf listeners. Emma Saunders here. If you're enjoying the latest episode, then you should also check out On Tour with Sport 24. Each week, I'm joined by my trusty TikToking travelling companion, Rob Adcock, as we explore sporting cities across the world. So whether you're looking for the best way to enjoy the Las Vegas Grand Prix, make the most of your day at Wimbledon, or find out about the history of some of the world's biggest football clubs like Real Madrid, this is the podcast for you. So listen to On Tour with Sport 24 via your favourite podcast provider.
We have made our way to Stonewall Golf Club, which is about 5 minutes away from the Robert Trent Jones course, which of course is hosting this year's Solheim Cup. Right here, we've got a variety of social influencers who really do help grow the game of golf. They've got hundreds of thousands of followers. I'm going to catch up with Brady Nuss, Carolina Romero, Georgia Ball, Tisha Allin, and Kat Shee. Off we go. Brady, Carolina, can I ask you how the round's going so far?
So far, so good.
Is it?
It's so far, so good. We're hitting well.
Now, guys, you, for all our listeners on Why Golf, you are influencers. You're all over social media. You do so much amazing content. What got you into the sport of golf?
Well, my parents got me golfing when I was really young, 9 years old. You know, I played competitive for a long time. I am not as good anymore, but now Brady, you know, watching his content and just hanging out with him has inspired me to show the, you know, not so pretty side of golf. And it's more relatable, it is way more funny, and it's just way more fun too.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your content on social media. What does it involve?
Yeah, so initially I started doing golf fitness. I'm a golf fitness personal trainer, one of Golf Digest's top 50.
I can tell.
Thank you very much. But, you know, I realized that that was kind of like not the route that I wanted to take. So I started to switch it up and I started to go more like a comedy, entertaining route. And, I got to admit, Brady's really influenced my content. He really showed me that it's cool to be a bad golfer. It's cool to make fun of it. It's cool to go out there and have fun. As most golfers are bad golfers, they can really relate to our content and they love that we're all real. And that's been really cool.
I think you've like literally nailed it on the head, because most golfers or amateurs, we go out there, we're pretty stressed and we want to have a bit of a giggle and a bit of light entertainment. And that's exactly what you're providing. Where'd you come up with all your ideas, though?
I just, you know, randomly one day I, you know, was scrolling through social media and I, you know, saw some golf stuff and I said, you know what, I want to give this a shot. I think I could make something like this, but I'm going to go like the comedy route. You know, I'm not a good golfer, but I think I'm a funny guy. So posted a video, woke up the next day, 600,000 views. Woke up the next day, posted another one, 700,000 views. And I said, you know what, like there's a space that needs to be filled and I think I'm the guy for it. So I just basically try to show people you don't have to be the scratch golfer, the plus handicap. You don't have to be out there wearing the white pants with a white belt and, you know, a pair of, you know, fancy shoes, and just go out and have fun, you know, like it's, we're trying to grow the game. We're trying to welcome more people in. And I think that's going to help grow the game and make it a much better sport down the line.
You've brilliant. Thank you so much for summing it up. What top tip would you give to amateur golfers out there?
Have fun. Take it easy. Don't take yourself too seriously. It takes a long time, a lot of money, a lot of dedication to get down to a single digit handicap, which is what we're trying to do right now. So just go out and have fun. You know, if you don't want to go down that grind, just go out to have fun with the boys.
Love that. And Carolina, what would you say?
I would say if you want to be a good golfer, you're going to have to put a lot of time and effort in. So if you just want to show up and hang out with your buddies, have a drink, cheers, and enjoy.
Cheers. I love that you're almost British now, saying cheers. Can we all say cheers together? 1, 2, 3.
Cheers. Cheers.
Georgia, great to be here at Stonewall Golf Club with you. Now, it's amazing, isn't it? We're just near the Solheim Cup. Are you inspired?
I am so inspired. It's such a beautiful course. I've never played in the US before. So me, this is just incredible.
It is. I know. We're all in. Do you like carts? You're in carts.
I've just
grabbed you from yours.
I just said mine's an organised mess, but it's because I've never had so much room to play golf before.
I know. So. You can put all your snacks, can't you, behind. Yeah. It's brilliant.
There's so many drinks of water. It's amazing.
I know. Oh, awesome. And the sun is shining here just outside of Washington, D.C. Now, you are an influencer. You're a coach. You're a golfer. What inspired you to get into the sport?
Yeah, so for me, what inspired me, my family plays. My dad played when I was younger, and he used to take me out after school. So I've been playing for around about 16 years now.
Brilliant.
So I used to collect conkers with my dad. He used to play golf whilst I was filling his golf bag. So from there he kind of just handed me a club, and the rest is history. I've been obsessed ever since.
That's so lovely that you followed him, and then, you know, going to the drive, it's really easy, isn't it, for people to get involved in golf, going to the driving range, just smacking some balls, which we've seen you on Instagram do so many times. You've got loads of followers. How do you interact? How do you find all that sort of that world?
Yeah, I think for me the interaction's fantastic. You know, I try and offer as much education and value as possible. You know, golf's a hard game, trying to make it as easy as possible. So it's been fantastic.
What is your top tip to amateurs who are watching and listening to this?
Well, top tip for me, I think a question I get asked a lot is about consistency. So I would say have fun, number one.
Yeah.
Practice as much as you can for two, and don't be hard on yourself, because we're all in the same situation.
You know, that is really, really good advice. Your team are putting. We're hoping we're not putting them off. But in the press conferences, the captains were saying fun. You've got to have fun. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yes.
And what's your favourite club in the bag?
driver. It doesn't always go right, but driver.
Well, I've just seen you smack one, about 250, 300 yards. Amazing. And we like to travel on this podcast. What do you always have in your suitcase?
Sun cream. Always have to have sun cream. It's one of those things that you forget, but when you're out there, you don't realise you're burning. So put sun cream in the golf bag.
So true. You're doing a great job, George. We'll go and let you have your part. We'll speak to you shortly. Thank you. So I've managed to catch up with two very influential girls on the golf course, Tisha Allin and Kat. Tell us, Kat, your social media presence. What's the name of it?
It's Caitlin She.
Caitlin She. Now, I've been looking at your videos and what you're doing. It's amazing. How's the golf going today?
It's going well, hitting it somewhat straight, but yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah. What got you into golf?
My dad, actually.
Yeah.
He inspired me and he just took us on the course when we were younger. And
I hear that all the time. It was my mum actually that got me involved in golf
when
I was six. Yeah. And at the time I was like, oh, I don't really like this. And then after, you know, actually when you smack one down the middle, you feel pretty good,
well.
Don't you? And Tisha, what about you? How did you get into golf?
So my dad also got me into the game and it was really just the way like him and I bonded. So I've started when I was three and I haven't stopped playing golf ever since. So there's not a memory that I have where I haven't been golfing.
And you've played on a professional level.
I have, yeah. So I turned professional in 2015 and I played till 2018 and I essentially got on the Symmetra Tour, which is now called a different tour. And then from then on, I then pursued the social media full on and, I mean, no regrets.
Yeah, I love both of your content. It's brilliant. But how do you find the whole social media domain? I mean, you've got so many followers and interacting all the time, but how do you keep coming up with creative content?
I think we just
through each other. Yeah, but you're also, you're growing the game as well, aren't you? Is that one of the, you know, one of your goals to grow the game?
Absolutely. I mean, that's always the intent. I think like, you know, there's a professional golfers and they attract at the elite level. And then there's also the golfers that I think can relate to maybe perhaps anybody and everybody even more so. And that's kind of like, at least my intention, our intention to be relatable to the players that are the ones playing every day for fun.
100%. I mean, because we're never going to achieve, well, I'm not, you have, but achieve that professional status. And as amateur golfers, we want to see people live those kind of lifestyles. And you girls are literally living the dream. Kat, do you enjoy what you do?
I do, yeah. I get to meet really cool people, travel to really cool places as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. What about your team today? Are they really cool or are they pretty average?
We love them.
I'm looking at them now. Do you know what? 10 out of 10, thumbs up for them. But we're here at Stonewall Golf Course and we can see the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club just across the road. Wow. And the 15th hole is absolutely spectacular, which we're coming up to. But being here at the Solheim, what does it mean to you?
Well, this means a lot to me because this is my first time. This is our first time at the Solheim Cup. And I think, like, I've been telling the whole Skyscanner team here that the Solheim Cup really brings out all the energy in both teams, and I think it's the best way to see the players play with so much passion.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really exciting to see it in person.
Yeah, first tee, you excited about the first tee?
Yeah, we're going to be there tomorrow, but watching like the best players in the world.
Yeah, who's your favorite player?
Definitely Rose, because we used to practice together.
Oh,
and then watching
amazing.
Her grow up, I'm like, oh my god. Like, so I met her when she was like 11. So I'm like, you look like you're still 11 to me. Like, oh, you're so young.
It's so lovely. It's such a community and friendship within golf. Yeah. And it's like you girls will be friends now for life and making memories. Course, that's it's something special that we want to tell all our listeners and viewers at home. So what's your plan Friday morning? Will you be getting up very early to watch?
Oh, that is a game plan.
They start at 7:30.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that electric atmosphere. Tell us your favorite club in the bag, Tish.
Favorite club in the bag. Well, you would usually say my driver, but seeing that I just conceived this hole and I've lost the match and I let my teammate down, it's not driver at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, he's nodding, actually.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
He's like, it's all your fault. Yeah.
Okay. Driver normally. And what about you?
Mine's my driver.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it from Georgia Ball in front as well. I think we just want to grip it and rip it, don't we? I know these are strong girls. They really are. And I think that's also a really key message is you're super athletic, super healthy, and just getting out amongst nature. Does it help this brain space playing golf?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think
it's therapy.
Yeah. I think it's actually, oddly, it's something that keeps us sane in a weird way.
Girls, you've been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Di.
Thank you.
We are here on the first tee surrounded by red, white and blue. In a couple of years' time, it's going to look very different as the Solheim Cup is held in the Netherlands for the first time. Let's speak to one of the key personnel who's going to make that happen. I am here with Sabine, the general manager of Barnardos, who are staging the next Solheim Cup in Europe. Tell us the story about being the first ever employee at Barnardos.
At Barnardos.
And you were thrown in the deep end.
Yeah, definitely.
And you said, come on, we need to organise this golf course.
Definitely.
And now you're hosting a Solheim Cup.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't have imagined that in like 6.5 years ago, because we're only open for 6.5 years now.
Wow.
So, Robert, the owner, I worked for him before. And he was asking me if I would like to work at the golf course. And I was really like, I'm not a golfer. I'm a fanatic field hockey player. But he was like, yeah, but you know everything about hospitality and stuff. And you know how I think and what I want. So that's why he asked me to do this.
Oh, wow. It's incredible. But how does the bidding start to host a Solheim Cup? And what was the process?
Well, the thing was that we were also looking for a Ryder Cup. But the NGF, Dutch Golf Federation, was involved.
Yeah.
And they were looking like, okay, what can be a great, you know, golf club to host it? And then they came up with us. Because they were like, okay, they got all the ingredients. I mean, the hospitality level is very high. It's really, you know, a really great golf course. And it's designed by Kyle Phillips.
Oh,
so it's also very challenging.
Yeah.
And
so you've got to tick a lot of boxes in order to qualify to host a Solheim Cup.
Definitely, because we had a lot of visits, also from former captain Katrina Matthew, and of course from the LET, LPGA. And they were all like, wow, amazed, because it's more like a boutique course, so it's not as huge as it is over here.
I mean, it's big here, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, big. What are your thoughts of Robert Trent Jones?
Yeah, it looks amazing. I mean, it's more classical than it is with us. With us, it's, more modern. But yeah, it looks fantastic over here.
And so it'll be very different in Europe next year. But you've got a lot of work to do.
Definitely.
What's happening behind the scenes right now?
Behind the scenes, there's happening a lot.
Yes.
And I think as of Monday, that it really, really gets off.
Wow.
Now we are, of course, preparing some alterations in the course. Because, how the players should play the tee boxes and stuff and the fairways and greens. So we have to move some trees as well. There's so many things going on. What about hospitality? What about the look and feel in the Van Village?
And also you're probably making a lot of notes being here this week. Tell us about golf in Holland though, and how big is it?
Golf in Holland is very big.
Yeah?
It is in the way of, like, we have more than 140 golf clubs. And
it's very popular indeed.
It is. And especially in our region, in the northern of Brabant, you have a lot of nice courses.
Yeah.
But it's still something, especially the Solheim Cup, something that we really need to promote to people.
Yeah.
Because there's always, you know, they say like, okay, what's it about? And then it's like, yeah, it's the Ryder Cup for women. But we want to say, okay, we have to change it in the way of the Ryder Cup is the Solheim Cup for women.
Yeah, I hear you. You want to just say the Solheim Cup in its own entity, its own right, because these women deserve it, don't they?
Yeah.
But in terms of the golf course and the setup and the planning, you're going to be super busy. The fans, are you expecting people to travel over? What would you say to Americans who are thinking about possibly coming over to Holland for the next one?
Well, Holland is just like kind of small village compared to the US.
I know, it's a quarter of a fifth of a state or something.
Definitely. Yeah. So there's so much to see. So please come over and also take the time to see what's going on in the Netherlands. I mean, it's not only Amsterdam, which is only like an hour away by train, but it's also the lovely surroundings around our course. And there's a lot of art, there's a lot of museums. Den Bosch is a medieval city where we are located. So there's
amazing.
So much to see. And don't be there just for the event.
And this is the first ever Solheim Cup in Holland. What
definitely.
Kind of legacy do you want to leave behind?
Well, it's the 20th edition as well. So we want to make it a very special one, of course.
Yeah.
We want to promote the Netherlands as a golf destination as well, because we're not really known for that.
Yeah.
But as I said, there are more than 140 golf clubs. And it's an amazing country to combine golf and tourism as well.
Thank you for chatting to us on Why Golf.
Yeah, no problem.
And go and lie down on Monday and pace yourself, because you're going to be tired.
I will.
By a couple of years' time. But we can't wait. Thank you so much.
And thank you for asking me.
Well, let's look to the future now and speak to some of the junior USA Solheim Cup team. we've just come out of the press conference. The Junior Solheim Cup, the American team, victorious, record margin girls, 18.5, 5.5. My goodness, what a massive win. Gianna and Elizabeth, great to meet you. Can you tell us, can you believe what's happening, Gianna, over the last few days? Has it been a complete whirlwind? How well did you play?
I mean, it's definitely been a bit crazy for sure, but I think, like, we just have so much talent on this team, and we were in such a groove this week. We were all getting along so well, and we had amazing captains to lead us too. So, yeah, we did a really great job. I'm super proud of everybody on the team.
That's great. This is your second Junior Solheim. Elizabeth, tell us what the experience has been like for you.
It's been amazing, especially playing in the United States this year after losing on European soil. It just means a lot. There was so much positivity, and the members at Army Navy came out and supported us in the red, white, and blue. And especially seeing all these little girls who want our autographs and are so excited when they see the red, white, and blue and our team winning points, and to win by 15, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you are role models now to little girls watching all over the country. How does that feel?
I mean, it's just a dream come true for me, really. I remember being that little girl that wanted, you know, the big players' autographs, and I was the one who was always on the first tee watching them and hoping that they would give me a high five or something like that. So, yeah, it's just to be able to kind of move forward and hope to do what they're doing someday and kind of getting closer to that, it's so special for me.
How do you deal with nerves playing golf? Because a lot of our listeners and viewers panic when they get on the golf course. What would you say to them, Elizabeth?
I would just say it's just golf at the end of the day. You need to stay as calm as possible. The best players in the world hit awful golf shots. I mean, it's just gonna happen. And it's just so important to stay positive. You have 18 holes and one shot. I mean, you can't make it ruin your round. You just need to keep going and just stay in the present, and yeah.
It's good advice, really good advice. When did you start playing golf? What age?
I was 5 years old.
And who introduced you to the game?
So my dad played golf in college, and when I was born, he was still playing a lot. So he introduced me very, very young. I had little plastic clubs when I was like 18 months old.
Oh, so, that's so cute.
Yeah, as soon as I started walking.
Oh, Elizabeth, what about you?
I actually saw the newspaper one day, and I saw a girls golf clinic, and at this time I was doing a bunch of different sports, and I was like, oh, I want to try this, like the girls holding a pink golf club. I love the color pink, so I started doing the clinics with like 20 other girls, and then I just had an orange driver and my giraffe head cover, and I just tried to make it as fun as possible.
So it sounds like Ricky Fowler all in orange. Golf, I mean, it's not easy. So you girls started at a very young age. Was there ever a time you thought, oh, I'm not really into this, but then suddenly the passion and the sort of obsession with the game grew?
I think you definitely go through like ups and downs with golf, just if you're not playing exactly the way you want to. I think that's pretty normal to maybe lose your motivation a little bit. But I think for me personally, that's very short term. I love playing competitively. I love tournament season. So I don't think that the long term motivation will ever go away.
What are the feelings like when you're playing competitive golf, Elizabeth?
Well, I can definitely be over competitive sometimes, but you really just need to really remember that you've put in so much hard work, and that whatever happens, happens. You can only control yourself. You can't control other people. So just staying present, being as positive as possible, and just like understand that you're playing the sport that you love to play, and that at the end of the day, like, you just need to be, you need just need to have fun. And it's all about meeting new people, traveling, having great experiences. So
yeah, incredible. And this week, I mean, in 20 years' time, 30 years' time, you'll look back and think this week is so special. I'm sure you're going to be friends with people for life from this team. And do you get on so well?
Yeah, we really do. I mean, this team, we're like all best friends now, which is really awesome. Junior golf, you don't get to play many teams. Yeah. So it's really cool to be able to have team experiences before some of us go to college. And I think that's really beneficial for us. And yeah, it's just been so fun, from roommates to the buses that we go in every morning and we scream as loud as we can.
our favorite songs. It's just, it's so fun for all of us.
Yeah, I think Asterisk is just about awake because she's been singing and dancing and all sorts. Listen, thank you for your time. You must be exhausted. I'm hungry now. Thank you and well done this week.
Thank you.
Beth Daniel, the captain of the Junior Solheim Cup team, are you exhausted?
I'm very exhausted.
Yes, it's full on. And I must say, I've just spoken to Elizabeth and Gianna. What articulate girls and how well they speak. I mean, the media training is amazing and brilliant golfers as well.
Yeah, they really, they do a good job with the media. They do a great job with the fans.
Yeah.
We had like a meet and greet with junior golfers last week, and all of them just ran over to the tent to meet these kids, sign autographs, talk to them, answer questions. It's amazing. I mean, these kids are 14 to 17 years old.
It is incredible when they get to that professional level, which some of them will do. They'll be so well grounded. But from your team this week, what's the one highlight for you? I know there's probably 1,000, but what's the one sort of standout memory that you'll take from this?
I honestly have to say there can't be one, except for how the team bonded during the week and you know, and I told them at the end, that's what it's all about. It's about making friends. And when you get to my point in life, and I've been retired from the tour for a while, it's all about the friendships. And it's, you know, like there, I think we have 10 past captains here this week. I'm so excited to see them.
Oh, it is. Golf is about friendship, is about bringing people together, that community, friends for life, as you say. How did you start playing golf? Who introduced you?
My parents both played golf. I had an older brother and an older sister who also played golf. So I always said if I didn't play golf, I'd be left at home.
Yeah. Same with me, actually, because the whole family played. I'm on my own. Yeah. And did you get to a low handicap quite early on?
I was a late bloomer. I would not have made a Junior Solheim Cup team.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
I was 17 before I broke par in a tournament, and then a year later I won the U.S. Amateur. So I just took off.
It's remarkable. I spoke to actually Nick Faldo a couple of weeks ago, and he started golf at the age of 14 and was in his first Ryder Cup at 20.
Yeah.
Goes to show if people are thinking about taking up the game, you can literally take up at any age, can't you?
You can. You absolutely can. I mean, you look at Scarlett Schremmer on our team. She was surfing five years ago, said, I'm out of surfing. I'm going to play golf. And she's on a Junior Solheim Cup.
Oh, so, it's brilliant. And listen, you've done so well with the girls. It's been fab. We like to ask all our guests, because you travel a lot, what's your item that you cannot not put in your suitcase that you have to travel with? You're essential.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I keep a valet bag with all my stuff in it.
And if that goes missing, it's panic.
It's panic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's got everything in.
But it would probably be, I guess it's my phone.
Yeah.
I'd have to say my phone. Everybody would say that, wouldn't they?
Probably, but yeah. I like to forget mine occasionally, but it's so hard to. And finally, what is your drink of choice on the 19th hole after the 18 are played? We've had a variety of different drinks over the past couple
right
of years.
Right now I'm into Lime High Noons.
What's that?
It's a vodka.
Sounds good, Beth. Sounds good, Beth.
Vodka, club soda, lime juice. And it's called a High Noon. It's in a can. They have all different flavors. It's really good.
Amazing. I'm hoping our team can afford that. If we can, we'll have one after this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. What's the plan for the rest of the week? Cheering on USA.
We opening ceremonies later today and then cheering on Team USA the rest of the time.
Get some rest. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks so much. All right.
We have had a brilliant time here at the 2024 Solheim Cup, and we've spoken to some fantastic people. Do not forget to check us out on Instagram, on YouTube, and your favourite podcast provider. The opening ceremony is about to start. Let's take it away. Enjoy.